podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Now, this has been a very tough week for my home state of New Jersey, as you have seen from the news. You can't escape it. And I'm happy to say that my family made it through safely, even though some are still without power. The main culprit of the power failures was trees. Trees that became soft in their roots, and maybe you saw some of the pictures. There's one very impressive picture that someone took off their back porch in Long Island where the tree, you just see the ground start to wobble underneath the tree. You know, it's incredible. It's like waves, and then the wind is blowing, and all of a sudden, it just lets loose. And you see the, suddenly you're looking at the bottom of this massive tree, into the root system of the tree as it falls. And that was happening all over during that hurricane. And it's a reminder to us as believers in Jesus Christ that a wide, shallow root system does us no good. No good at all. That we need to be deep. We need to be rooted deep so that when the storms of life blow through, that we're grabbing into the soil, that we can remain intact. What happens, though, is we grow shallow in our faith, shallow in our understanding of God's Word, shallow in our application of God's Word, shallow in our relationships. And then the wind comes and blows, and it can be devastating. It can be devastating in our personal lives. So where do we develop these deep roots? Where do they come from? Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. That's on page 383 of your pew Bible. Psalm chapter 1. Follow along as I read. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture in your word of what it means to be rooted deep in you. And Father, help us to understand and, Lord, to apply to our lives today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about reigniting. We've been talking about a life that is ignited by the Holy Spirit. And part of that life needs to be fueled by the Word of God. And that's where we're going today. We need to consistently be replenishing our lives. It's not enough for us to repent and then to receive forgiveness from God, but there is a growth that has to take place. And that growth takes place as we are replenished daily, as we spend time with God, as we spend time in His Word. And so today, from this psalm, we're going to look at what a life that is ignited by the Spirit really is. What is a life ignited by the Spirit? What does it look like? Well, first of all, in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." I want you to notice that in this particular psalm, we go from walking to standing to sitting. Walking to standing to sitting, which is sort of the path that we take when we get rooted in this world. Well, this is talking about the fact that we have a tendency and a temptation, even as believers in God, to get rooted in the evil of this world. To walk, and then to stand, and then to sit. Well, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, a life that's ignited by the Spirit avoids bad advice. A good definition of the wicked If you're going to be seeking the counsel of the wicked, what does wickedness look like? Simply put, it's those who are out of step with the will of God. See, God has a will and a purpose for our lives and a way that He would like for us to conduct ourselves in this world, and it's all pretty clearly found in His Word. And those who are out of step with God's will are called the wicked in the Word of God. Those who are headed in the complete opposite direction of Jesus Christ. If you read how Jesus lived His life, the things He did while He was in this world, and then you look around you and say, well, there's a lot of people in this world that are living the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. I believe the word wicked here is the word that we would apply to them. And we say, well, that's so mean. You know, that's such an awful word. Who wants to be called wicked? You know, who wants to think that someone that they're friends with is wicked? You know, dial back the rhetoric just a little bit and think for a second. If God has created us with a desire for our lives and a purpose for our lives to glorify Him, to allow Him to shine through our lives so that others may see who He is, if we're doing anything other than that, we're out of step with Him, maybe the word wicked is appropriate. Our culture, our media, our entertainment is peppered with horrible advice that's dished out willingly, day in and day out. Sometimes it comes in the form of actual advice. Sometimes it comes in the form of just bad examples that are put in front of us day in and day out. Just pursue your dreams. Make sure you are happy. Make sure you get whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you're after. Go for the gusto. Just do it. And whatever it is doesn't matter. As long as it's what you've set your heart and your mind on, just go for it and get it and do it and be it. It sounds good, right? It sounds so good to us as human beings. The problem is it does not take into account that we have a God who has a purpose for our lives too. And many times, the things that we're going for, the it that we're just doing, doesn't correlate with the purpose that He has for us. And we become miserable and broken and lost. Second part of this verse, actually starting with verse 2, not only does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but he does not stand in the way of sinners. The way is the road or the direction. Those who have a life that's ignited by the Spirit avoid bad direction as well. It's not just about the advice, but it's about following those who are headed in the wrong direction. Another way of saying it is, blessed is the man who does not follow the map of sinners, because there are two different maps. There's the map of the world, there's the map of God. And if you follow the map of the world, you're going to get lost. And the roads look wide, and they look like they lead to somewhere that's desirable, but in the end, just throw that map away. Because the map of God is the map that sometimes seems difficult, sometimes seems narrow, sometimes seems uncomfortable because not everybody is following that map. But the end of that map leads to eternal life. It leads to a strong relationship with God. It leads to being ignited in Him. So sinners set their GPS toward selfish desires. They devise a plan to arrive at a place where they feel good, where all of their needs are met, where the sun is shining and the breezes are blowing. But when they finally get there, the Word of God teaches us, they're miserable because they realize the state of their heart is not right. They're not doing or being what God has called them to do or be. God has designed us for so much more than that. And those with deep roots do not follow sinners toward their idea of life. The third part of this verse, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Third, a life ignited by the Spirit avoids bad company. To sit in the seat of a mocker means that now you, by virtue of spending your time with the wicked and the sinners and the mockers, are now seated with them. You now have become one of them. When you sit in the seat of a mocker, you become a mocker. And we see this sort of thing happening with our children. It happens at a very young age. I mean, I see it in a three-year-old. What happens is you send them off to school, to nursery, to wherever, and they come home with a new vocabulary. Have you noticed that? Where did you learn that? Where did you learn that? They come home with a new attitude. I don't remember you acting that way before. Where do they get that from? You realize that we as human beings are sponges. We look at everyone around us to get cues for how we should live, how we should dress, the things we should say. That's why when you watch some stupid movie that has a little line in it, that line suddenly becomes the buzzword for everybody in our culture to use, gets overplayed, and it's not cool anymore. And when those lines start coming not from stupid movies, but from horrible rap songs and the underbelly of our culture, and they start to get spread throughout our culture, and they become accepted by us, suddenly we're the ones that are sitting in the seat of mockers. We need to learn how to avoid bad company. Now, right away, I know what you're going to say, because I said it too in my mind. What about Jesus? Jesus was known for spending time with sinners. Jesus was known for loving them and reaching out to them and healing them and letting them touch him. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees were amazed that Jesus allowed those people to come anywhere near him. But that was his example that he said. He loved them. However, would you say that Jesus ever took their advice? Followed their direction? Would you ever say that he sat in their seats as a mocker? You know, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he was willing and able to spend time with sinners, and then he walked away undirtied, uninfluenced. And when they told him, "Don't you dare go to Jerusalem and give your life," he said, "I'm not listening. I need to do the will of my Father." Well, that's important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to realize that God has a will and a purpose for our lives. It's all mapped out clearly for us in His Word. We need to be in His Word, learning His Word, studying His Word, applying His Word, walking with Him, meeting with people who are studying and applying His Word, being a part of His church where iron is sharpening iron. We're all headed in the same direction where God wants us to go, and ignoring all of these voices from the world that would drag us away from where God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. So how do we do that? Well, the next verse, verse 2, says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So, a life ignited by the Spirit avoids bad advice, avoids the bad direction, avoids the bad company of this world, and instead enjoys God's Word. So, where do we get our advice, our direction? And where should we find our company in this world for the long haul? It says we should delight or be filled with passion and excitement over the Word of God. What God has said. And specifically it says the law of the Lord, which are the commands of God, the way in which He would have us to live, that we should take delight in these things, to meditate on them, to consider them, to be genuinely excited about where they lead us, to ask questions about the Word of God. And then when we have questions in our life, to approach the Word of God. What would God have me to do? Where would God have me to go? Who would God have me to be with? All of these questions that pop up along the path of life, the answers are found because God has spoken. I praise God that He has not been silent. We have a God who has spoken directly to us. And He wants to direct our lives, and He wants to lead us to that place of satisfaction and fulfillment in following Him. God is not silent. He speaks. And every day He is just pouring out His will into your life. If only our eyes, our ears, and our hearts would be open to receive it. We can see it when we just look out at the beauty of what He's created. We can see it when we spend time with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and see what's going on in their life and talk to them about what the God is doing with them. We see it in His Word when we wake up each morning and we open the Word and we get something fresh from God. Enjoy God's Word. He calls us to delight in it. But we will never hear Him. We will never hear Him if we don't listen. If we go our own way. If we put our fingers in our ears and say, "La, la, 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 I'm not listening, God. I want to do my thing my way." God says, "No. Stop. Delight in my word and listen to what I have to say to you and recognize that I have a purpose for you and get excited about that. And what will happen? Well, now we go on to the good part. Because there's a description here of what it's like for a person who follows God's word. First of all, he is like a tree, verse 3, planted by streams of water. In other words, God's word produces perpetual nourishment for us. Just like a tree that is beside a flowing stream. Even when the drought comes and the other trees are having trouble, that tree is tapped into the source. Too many followers of Jesus Christ are like trees that are planted in the wilderness. We've decided to set up shop on our own, in our own place, and not listen to the advice of anyone. Too many of us as followers are like trees who are planted on the rocks. Now, have you ever been up to Moore's Wall, up to the top here, and taken a look at some of these trees? I have no idea how they even exist. There, you know, you follow this tree that is on top of a huge rock. And you say, how is this thing still alive? Well, you know, if you follow one of those roots long enough, eventually you'll see that it has its place in the soil somewhere. Whether it's in the crack of the rock or whether it's over the rock and into the soil behind it, somehow that tree has to be engaged into the soil or it couldn't live. Well, some of us as believers are planted on the rocks. We may have one or two fingers in what God wants for us in this world, but we're in a precarious position when the wind blows and the rain starts to fall against us. And some trees are just planted shallow, and some believers are just planted shallow. I just need enough of God's word where I understand it, you know? Or I like to read God's word, and I like to come to Sunday school, but it's just because I have a curiosity about what it means. I want to know, how did God create the earth? And I want to argue with the evolution people about, did God create this earth in 7 days, or did God create it over ages of time? Or was there a God at all? I want to argue with them over that. I want to go to the end of the book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I want to see how it all ends, and I want to argue over, are we in the end times? You know, when is God returning? All the things that I see happening in the news today, are those things in the book of Revelation? I want to see that. So I'm interested in the beginning and I'm interested in the end so I can fight with people over it. What's in the middle, I don't really know and I don't really care. You see how that is a shallow understanding of the Word of God. A deep understanding of the Word of God picks it up and says, from cover to cover, every place where God has spoken, I want His Word to enter my life and I want to meditate on it day and night. And I want it to soak in, and then I want to live it out. I want to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. I want it to change me, to shape me, to reignite me. And it needs to be a part of my daily routine. That is being planted by streams of water, as far as believing in Him goes. Those who delight in God's word and constantly seek His advice and His direction are like trees with deep roots, receiving nourishment from the stream. Why would a tree want to be anywhere else? Why would a tree want to be planted anywhere else than beside the flowing stream where there is consistency of nourishment? Verse 3 says, He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. This, after all, is why most people plant trees, is because there's going to be fruit. Now, sometimes we plant trees just because they're pretty and they're ornamental and we like the way they look. That's okay, too. There's a certain type of fruit there as well, as we enjoy the tree. But the type of tree that we're talking about here in Psalm 1 is the one that produces plentiful fruit. The believer in Jesus Christ who's ignited by the Spirit, who's spending time in His Word, who wants His Word to change him, produces fruit as a result of the Word of God. It's a constant, steady stream of nourishment and then becoming heavy with fruit in season. And harvest time comes and it produces this beautiful fruit. And make no mistake, God has designed you as a believer in Him to bear fruit. He wants your life to be heavy with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. And the world does not offer such things. Can't find it there. doesn't even encourage such things. You don't learn them by watching TV. These things are only learned by being planted in the Word of God and in the community of God's Word, deeply, daily, and thoughtfully. Also here in this same description of the tree, it says that the tree's leaf does not wither. In other words, it produces profound growth. It's drought-proof. You know, while the nation is rocked by economic problems and by broken values and by moral disaster and by natural disaster and by crime and by sickness and death, the believer is firmly planted in the Word of God and continues to thrive. I want you to see the difference between people in this world, right? This natural disaster, Hurricane Sandy, took place in New Jersey, and in one particular area of New Jersey, in one high school, people broke into the school and they stole all of the computers. Saw this news report today, something like 50-something iMac computers, expensive, beautiful new computers that the school system had bought. Somebody broke into the school in the height of this hurricane, took the computers and fled. I want you to think, on the other hand, that there are people in the state of New Jersey right now who are actively looking for opportunities to serve the people around them. The North Carolina Baptist men have actually sent their trailers up to New Jersey, New York, Staten Island, Long Island, in order to feed those who are hungry, to give them a place to take showers and to wash their clothes, to provide for them. So what is the difference in the heart of these two people? One who looks at an opportunity to go into a school and to steal and to loot. The other who looks for an opportunity to serve and to help and to minister to people and to meet their needs during that time. What is the difference? You decide. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, lives within us and urges us to move and to help. And the Word of God that we are deeply planted in tells us that we are to be like Jesus Christ. And His example was an example of reaching out and helping those who are in need. And so it's built into our DNA as believers in Jesus Christ. And we would never think of taking advantage of somebody in that situation. Our heart is to help. That's the type of growth we're talking about. Profound growth that takes place in the life of the believer, which is not natural for human beings, but is natural for those who are planted in the Word of God. There's an old song that says, "My hope is built on nothing less than," how's the rest of it go? "Jesus and His righteousness," okay? Yeah. "My hope is built on nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ, than His Word, than His righteousness, than the hope that He brings." That is what our lives are to be built on. Now ask this question, what is your hope built on today? What is your hope built on today? Is it built on how much money I've got in the bank? Is it built on my job, my job security? Is it built on the relationships that I've made, the friends that I have? Where is my life and my hope truly built? Is it built in the Lord and His Word and the depth of my relationship with Him? And then it says in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, whatever he does prospers. That those who are reignited by the Spirit produce persistent prosperity. The Spirit enters our life, and by His Word, we become prosperous. Now, I know some of you are saying, "Oh no, Jack's going to start preaching the prosperity gospel." You know what the prosperity gospel is when the preacher gets up in front of you, usually on television, and tells you that if your life isn't perfect, if you aren't healthy and wealthy, then you are out of the will of God. Then you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not believing in Him strongly enough. I don't preach that gospel, because Jesus didn't preach that gospel and certainly didn't live that gospel. The Apostle Paul certainly didn't preach that gospel, and his life was not a life of health and wealth and prosperity. However, the Word of God does teach us that people who are rooted in God are prosperous people. It's just not the prosperous in the way we think prosperous should go. You know, we live the American dream. We know what prosperous means in our culture. This was written in a totally different culture. To prosper meant something completely different to the people who read this originally as David wrote it. Now, it may have had to do with earthly things, but more likely it had to do with the depth of your relationships, your family, the presence of God in your life. Here's where we get it wrong sometimes. We look for the presence of God. Let me spell that for you. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Got that? The presence of God. What will He give me? Rather than the presence of God, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Don't look for the T-S, look for the C-E when you go for the presence of God. I want Him to be a part of what I do, and I want Him to lead me, and I want to be doing His will and His work, and I want to be the person that He's called me to be, and in that is where prosperity is found, because there I am satisfied and filled. Anything outside of that, even if it contains earthly wealth, can be a wasteland. So the Bible is filled with wisdom for us. Some of the things that some of the questions we ask every day: who should I vote for? How should I raise my children? How should I repair my marriage? How can I resist temptation? How can I serve God in my community more faithfully? How can I be more like Jesus Christ? How can I lead my family to Jesus Christ? How can I get a hold of my circumstances? How can I feel like I'm doing something in this world and I'm part of something big? The Bible is full of those answers. But we need to be rooted in it daily, deeply, thoughtfully, paying attention to the Word of God and applying it to our hearts and our lives to be the people He's called us to be, to do what He's called us to do. And suddenly the answers to such questions, which seem so hard, suddenly become easy. The Lord begins to speak to us and we feel peace in our heart, in our soul, in our relationship with Him. I take you backwards. We start by returning to the holiness of God. And when we experience this beautiful holiness of God, we fall to our knees with regret because we are sinners. We recognize that He is holy and we are not holy. And then when we realize that we're sinners, we repent of that sin and we say, God, I need to change. We change our mind, we change our heart, we change our direction. And then we realize that God has done something miraculous for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us forgiveness. And we receive that forgiveness and we say, God, my sins are separated from me as far as the east is from the west. We are as white as snow, a clean slate, starting all over again. Well, where do you go now? Replenish. We go to the Word of God. We develop deep, deep roots in Him. The end of this chapter talks about the wicked. It says that they're like chaff that the wind blows away. And they will not stand in the judgment. That they won't have a leg to stand on as they stand before God, because they realize that they live their lives for themselves, and as the wind blows them away, their life was worthless. But the one who delights in the law of God and walks according to His word, day in and day out in his life, will stand before God in the assembly of the righteous. And the Lord watches over our way every day. He protects us. He walks with us. He guides us. He's making us into the people He wants us to be. But we need to remain in constant contact with our God, to replenish our souls, to hear from Him and to speak back to Him, to dedicate ourselves to following Him, allowing Him to lead, and living out the life that He's called us to live. To do His purpose, to do His will. And then you will be like a tree planted beside the stream, fruit and green beauty as you continue to walk with Him and prosper in His presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, it's our desire as individual believers and as a church to be reignited by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we confess to You that that is impossible apart from Your word. Lord, that we cannot grow as believers in Jesus Christ without Your word and without taking advantage of the opportunity we have each day to learn from You and to speak with You in prayer. Father, we confess, Lord, that when we get selfish in this world, and when we begin to fall away from you, sometimes the first thing that goes is that connection. Sometimes the first thing that falls away is our devotion to you, our daily attention to your word. Sometimes, Lord, that when we hear your word, we're not thrilled. We're not passionate about it. It comes up dry. And it's because, Lord, we desperately need your Holy Spirit to fill us, to reignite us, to get us excited about being your people and doing your purpose. And, Lord, to be planted deeply in your word. So when the trials of life come, Lord, we have nothing to fear. Thank you, Father, for who you are. You are a powerful God, the creator of the world, our creator, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, and the one who has given us your word. Lord, help us to pay attention, to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.